Hey, welcome in, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. We are here at the LeGrand School District Turning Point Education Podcast. I've got Scott Carpenter here with me, and I've got Superintendent George Mendoza here in studio. We're going to dive into this thing. How are you guys doing today?
Fantastic.
Always great. Good to see you both.
Yeah, we're excited to be here. Hey, one of the things we wanted to talk about is just kind of our purpose here and why, you know, we are doing this. We definitely want to connect educators, offer insight into education, really help the community understand what's going on in schools, share good information, and really, you know, protect and serve the institution of education, which we love. And so we're excited you guys are here with us, and we're going to be doing these pretty frequently and interviewing different guests about their journey and into education and kind of why they're here and what they're doing.
Yeah. I love that that's our focus for this podcast, because everyone in our country goes through education, and whether it's private or public or otherwise, and they have a lived experience of good things and bad things and in the middle things, and they have a truth about education. And certainly as I was a student, I had a truth about education, a belief about how it worked or what it did. And then as you become a teacher, as you become an administrator or district office, like, the game is very different. It's almost like the curtain's pulled back and the Wizard of Oz is revealed type thing. And so being able to share those insights, or being able to share what we know about how education works in the state of Oregon, in our tiny neck of the woods, is going to be a fun thing. And being able to hear personal stories or reasons why from our educators, I'm really excited to learn personally about their why and why they want to be with our kids and how they want to like build legacy over time. So I'm just excited about this opportunity to reach out in this medium.
Good deal. Well, what we'll do is here, we'll do a couple of introductions here, and then we'll dive in and we'll start interviewing our superintendent, George Mendoza. So my name is Brett Smith. I'm the principal at Island City Elementary. Been in education about 14 years now. Been the principal out at Island City for the last five. Just really passionate about kids, and have taught at a variety of levels. Been an administrator at a variety of different levels in different states, and just excited to be here and share some of this stuff. Got Scott Carpenter with me.
Okay. I'm excited to be with Brett. It's a fun tag team. We've been together now for 6 years in LeGrand School District, so this is going to be fun. My background is, this is my 19th year in education. Was a teacher for seven on the coast, Oregon coast, and then came here as the assistant principal, and then been at district office, and just been a blast. So we have a great team. Excited to share them. But
all right. Well, Superintendent Mendoza, why don't you introduce yourself and give us your path in education, then we'll start firing some questions at you.
Nice. Well, now we'll say this. For our school district, I am pleased that we're going in this direction with podcasts. One of the things that I know I've asked Scott to do is to move into this field for us. We do a good job with newsletters. We do a good job with social media, website, even some videos. But for us to get more of the lived life experience of people and keeping it light and fun and interesting based on their perspectives is important to me. And it's another little thing, just those little things that we can keep doing that make us a little bit better and make us connect more with other people. My path to education really was somewhere in my junior year. I had a coach that was really interested in me, wanting to help out his elementary classroom, and so he asked me to be a junior teacher or a cadet teacher. Prosser High School had a program going on, and the coach's name was Mark Little, and he was one of those, just, I liked him. He was a good coach, interesting, fun, charismatic, somebody that you wanted to be like, and he let me go work with him. And so I did that all of my junior year, and then I did that my senior year, and by the time I was doing that, I was like, man, I love helping kids, and I got to play sports with them. I got to help them with math. I got to read with them. I got to solve problems with them. I got to build relationship. And I pretty much knew at that time I wanted to be a teacher, or I wanted to be a coach. And so then I started going in that path. I did have a path where I was thinking I'd be an FBI agent or a U.S. Marshal.
Yeah.
So definitely, like,
you'd watch The Fugitive.
Yeah, I did. No, I watched Point Break. I knew, yeah. I wanted to be like Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
No, but I did think, you know, I could be a good FBI agent. And my wife, who was I was dating at the time, gave me a, George, I would be worried about you all the time if you did something in law enforcement. So yeah. I think you'd do well staying as a teacher and a coach. And then from there, it just happened.
Yeah.
There you go.
What was that number one attribute of Mr. Little? Shout out to Mr. Little, by the way. But what was that number one attribute that drew you to him as a teacher?
I think always relationship, connection. Anytime people get to know you and care about you and try to understand who you are and then support you and affirm you, Mark Little did that. Plus, he was funny and he was cool. And he was really good at just kind of making you feel seen. And right from that moment, I knew like that I really liked that guy. And I wanted to be more like him.
Yeah. When was the last time you reached out to Mr. Little?
Sometimes on Facebook, we do little like smiley faces or happy birthdays. He's known. I probably haven't directly talked with him in 3 years or 2 years. But he knows that he made a difference to me and he made an impact on my life. And he's known for a while that he was one of the key influencers that put me on a path towards education. And I almost always make sure that he hears that from me or receives messages from me that way. And I've had him coach my son in basketball. I've had him come and teach me more about being a coach sometimes. I probably should reach out to him more often and connect with him, but I definitely let him know every time that I see him how much I appreciate him.
That's awesome. Good deal. Well, one of the things we wanted to bring up here, and you definitely, I think, kind of answered the one, is like, when did you know you were meant to be in education? Sounds like pretty early on. Anything you want to add to knowing when you were meant to be here?
I would say I knew I wanted to teach mm-hmm. elementary ed. Because of Mark Little, or I wanted to be a PE teacher mm-hmm. because I liked physical education and physical activity. And then I knew I wanted to be a coach. And if people really know me or they hear how I talk to them, hopefully they experience a lot of like George tries to coach or mentor or support people and get them to do more or get them to try to be better. Yeah. And I knew that I loved the relationships that were built through coaching. But I really like the habits. Mm-hmm. I really like the expectations, the hard work, the discipline, the follow through, the way that structure can help you reach kind of your fullest potential. Those are the things that I saw that coaching could do. And I love winning. I don't like losing, but I usually knew like, you know, what does it take to win?
Process to win.
Yeah. And then the planning, the execution, the strategies, all of that came through being an athlete, but also and a player and then a coach. And I just felt like, that's fun. That's motivating. That's something that I enjoy. And I knew that teaching and coaching were like, mm-hmm. I like it.
So for those of you, this is a little bit of an aside, but for those of you that don't know the three of us or have never laid eyes on us, I want to help your assumptions.
Be nice. I know where you're going. Be nice.
Of the three of us, of Brett, myself, and George, I am not the athlete, nor was I the coach. I had a brief stint in cross country in middle school.
There you go.
Because I was good at running away from big people. But I was in orchestra, symphony, that sort of beat for me. Some choirs in college. What have you guys coached? I know you guys have coached a lot of sports, both of you. Like, what sports were you into, or were you coaching?
Definitely coached a lot of football, mm-hmm. and I coached a lot of basketball. And those are the two sports that I coached the most. I was an athletic director too, so I supported coaches, whether it was wrestling or volleyball, or softball or baseball. But football and basketball, I spent a lot of time playing in it, and then I spent a lot of time coaching in it.
Yeah. Football, same. Spent a good stint down in Texas as a high school coach, and then coached baseball as well, so spent a lot of time around those two. Basketball, a third passion. Haven't coached it at like a high school level, but spent a lot of time around kids and rec leagues and played a lot of years myself, so Yeah, a lot of sports involvement.
Yeah. Brett's notorious in LeGrand because you used to play against LeGrand, right?
Yep. Been here on the other side of the Baker LeGrand rivalry. So don't hold it against me. All right. Well, hey, so back to Mr. Mendoza. So talk to us maybe about a time that was really hard.
Yeah. There's a lot of times that I think things are hard. But a moment in my career that I thought was hard was, I'd say, in my second year of being a vice principal, I had a situation, I've told this to Scott before, where there was a kid that brought caffeine pills. Now, you're going to have to go back 20 years now,
right?
I'm in year 28 with my career.
Right.
And so go back 20, 24 years ago.
This is like when Dexatrim was a thing.
So there's kids, there's kid that's giving out,
handing like out pills,
a bunch of caffeine pills. And you got a bunch of kids kind of acting goofy.
They
got a lot of caffeine in them. And then everybody's kind of like, what's going on here? And then we find out that there's this kid that did it. Well, he gave it to like 16 other kids plus himself.
Yeah.
And we hadn't been in a situation like that, you know, and so you're figuring it out. Well, I'm trying to get some of the vice principals and the principal to work with me, and they kind of give me like, too many chiefs, you know, you're the person, you need to fact find, you need to determine all the kids that are involved, and then you need to figure out like what you want to do with that.
Yeah.
And we hadn't been in this spot before, so I had to look at policy, and I had to look at rules, and I had to look at things, and we didn't necessarily treat it like a drug, but we definitely treated it like a substance that we shouldn't be giving out, because it would be bad for schools to just be giving out a bunch of
caffeine to students.
And so I wound up suspending four kids, and then I wound up doing in-school suspension for another 12, and had a lot of people sad or mad or upset, and some happy, of course. Yeah. And it was one of those, like, welcome to being an administrator moments where you believe that you had to set the table and make it clear how we were going to interact with any controlled substance. And you had parents on one side or the other, happy or sad. And then you had teachers sometimes on one side or the other, happy or sad. In the end, what I knew is I needed order, and I needed structure and expectation, and I needed this to not be repeated. And that was hard. And I'll just say, for a year six person trying to figure out like what's right or what's wrong, and then you know, creating accountability or structure, that was probably a very hard time for me in that 1 week period of figuring it all out and then dealing with a bunch of people.
Yeah. No, those situations, those are hard, and you find out what you're made of pretty quick. So.
Well, and I would even tell you that, you know, COVID had a lot of that for me at times where I definitely had lots of points of view that I had to hear and understand, and they're all compelling points of view too, but I had to follow the rules or the laws that our state was giving. And like them or lump them, sometimes you have to do what the state expects of you so that you can keep things operating and moving forward. And those are hard times, but they're also kind of defining times, I think, where you kind of figure out who you are and how you need to be so that you live close to your values as well.
100%. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Brett, you were an assistant. I've been an assistant. Mm-hmm. George was assistant, sort of a gateway first job in administration.
Yeah.
Just, I think it's worth for our community just a beat about like sitting in that seat of doing school discipline day in and day out. Like what was the focus, purpose, and intent? Was it just to like be the sheriff in town and be hard on everyone? Like what was...
Oh, why'd I get into it?
Yeah, you know, what sort of, what was your purpose and intent as you handed out consequences or just different things? Like what was your focus as you did that?
You know, you want to do right by everybody involved. You know, I don't know if this is the right term, but merciful justice, right? Like we do things, we make mistakes. We got to, you know, atone for those mistakes at times, you know, and there are things that, you know, you can and can't do. And it mimics society. Schools mimic society, right? Where there are rules. And if you don't abide by those rules, there are often sanctions, you know, and those sanctions get determined by, you know, a court of your peers, your judge, whatever. And I take the role of discipline pretty seriously in the fact that, like you don't want to be too much, right? But you also want to take care of the victim of the situation, and you want to help that kid learn a valuable lesson as they go go forward so that, you know, hopefully not repeating those. And so definitely don't get into it just to like, because we like punishing people, because honestly, it's not fun. And it makes a lot of people upset and hurts feelings and stuff. But if you didn't have that, you'd have chaos.
Yeah.
And there'd be no order. Mm-hmm. And you can't have that either.
Yeah. So. Yeah. School discipline was first summarized for me in sort of one, like, 2-second exchange. Mm-hmm. You know, I said hi to a student. I was standing next to an SRO, and, you know, we were in the commons and just welcoming students as they were coming in, and said hi to a senior student, and they pulled their hand out of their pocket to wave at us as they walked by on their way to class, and out jumped a pack of cigs. And the discipline, like, was secondary to, like, just the look and the acknowledgement of, like, I know what's coming. I know what has to happen.
Yeah.
And on our end, just sort of that, like, sorry, man.
Like,
but we're going to go through this hard thing together. And if you can build that kind of relationship as you 100%. Do the discipline, you know you're doing it right.
Yeah, 100%.
And it was just like, we just moved through it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Mr. Mendoza, give us a moment that you were on a peak, like you're on top of Everest. You're like, yes, this is it.
I don't know. I sometimes Assistant Superintendent Carpenter hears me and gets to know more of my style. Like I'm usually not very satisfied very long. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm happy when we win titles. Mm-hmm. I'm happy when we pass bonds or we improve facilities. I'm happy in general, like when we're achieving, I'll just use the word, our potential in a lot of things. So, you know, in particular, passing bonds, improving our facilities is something I find very satisfying. Mm-hmm. Seeing our programs thrive, seeing our teachers do a great job, seeing our coaches, seeing our kids have great experiences. High quality events, all of that kind of stuff is like, I love it. I love that we can do that for our kids. And then I just, there's the next problem. There's the next thing. And my brain can, my brain can carry like, 4 or 5 good things and then 5 or 6 mm-hmm. not so good things and try to be in the moment, but also know that, okay, I got another thing and I got another thing and I can't live in that place very long, but I love the people. And I love when I see our people working very hard together to achieve great outcomes. And there's nothing more satisfying for me than that.
Love it.
I'm going to violate something close to attorney-client privilege and just shed some light on something. And I apologize, Superintendent, but I'm going to tell on you. one of the only times where I've, not only, because Georgia's proud of a lot of things across our district, but we were in a car and we were passing by the Wildcat Center as it was nearing completion. And when George came to the district, the annex was there and this, you know, monstrosity that didn't work, the heating rods and the leaky roof and all that.
Oh, yeah, all that.
And as we drove by and he saw that new building and he got emotional about like, that was a primary thing when I first came, and to be here long enough and do the job long enough through all the refinancing the bond, getting the grants, doing all the meetings, hundreds of meetings, and then to have a building sitting there was like, for me, I knew it was like a seminal moment.
Yeah.
The sort of closing up that 7 years of work. And so even though we've never really arrived, there are those beats when you like look at something and you go,
We did that
right.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, that's because I pushed hard.
Yeah.
And then had a great team that helped support.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. Good deal. Thank you for that.
Well, kind of here towards the end, what are you excited about for the future, Mr. Mendoza? Anything that gets you pumped about the future?
Oh, you know, there's a lot of worries and concerns all at the same time. I'm fairly optimistic. I love our kids. We have great kids. Whenever we spend time with our students, whether it's athletic things, you know, I just came back from a state championship for soccer, and we have a lot of good kids, and we're gonna, you know, they're gonna compete at a high level again next year. But the reality is, when I even come and visit students, and I go to their classrooms, and we talk about life or leadership things, I'm usually like, we've got some really good humans. We have some really good children in our school district. 98% of the time fairly respectful interactions that are caring, people wanting to do well, wanting mm-hmm. to do their assignment, wanting to, I'll just say, get the best out of themselves, especially when you interact with them. And it might be that I'm the superintendent, but I do see that there's a lot of good children and there's a lot of good families. There's a lot of good administrators. I'm particularly pleased with our administrative teams. I see organizational excellence starting to happen over and over again in how we interact and then how we support parents or how we support children and how we look to make our schools better. And so, I don't know, I feel like the future is bright in our school district. One thing I told a group of people yesterday, healthy. Like, we have a fairly healthy school district, healthy climate, healthy culture, healthy outcomes for the most part with graduation, healthy outcomes with monitoring on track, healthy outcomes with seeing reading growth and math growth. We're fairly healthy. We get people that, for the most part, do their jobs and do their jobs effectively. And I'm very pleased with that. People might think negative things, but the reality is if they do kind of take the time to look at everything, we have a very strong school district. And if you compare us to many others, we're one of the stronger ones.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Future is bright, for sure. All right, well, we were going to end with a brief acronym. There's a lot of acronyms in education, so Mr. Carpenter is going to enlighten us on ODE, and then we'll sign out here. So give us an ODE. Yeah. What's ODE stand for?
What's funny in education is that there is an acronym. Like, we could have whole conversations in acronyms. Like, we were in a strategic planning committee meeting the other day, and like, we had to pause and like explain that acronym, that one, that one. So if you don't know, ODE is Oregon Department of Ed, and education, and we figured that would be a great place to start on this podcast. Oregon Department of Education really is sort of a conduit for the legislature to both, when the legislature passes a law, to create the rules that we as districts have to navigate as part of that law. So that a lot of times there's rule hearings that they'll facilitate. The other real main thing that they do is that they go back and they listen and learn from lots of people in our community, districts, superintendents, special bodies that are out there, and be able to make recommendations to the legislature about laws that might need to be passed or otherwise. They also help with grant reporting and different, they facilitate our federal programs grants or any state grants that come through, and updating any sort of financial processes that happen. So new thing for ODE has been getting into helping with infrastructure and buildings. So the AWESOME grant or some other grants that they have, because Oregon has recognized that districts on their own can't just use bonds. So ODE does respond to the needs of the state or needs of community, and they're a partner in trying to make education work. So, so a lot of times Oregon Department of Education gets a bad rap, but they do some great work to make, to be the great conduit between the legislature and what happens locally. Superintendent, you're on the state school board and you're with ODE all the time. Like, how has your knowledge of ODE expanded in your role as superintendent? What's valuable?
Well, it's really more of a superintendent advisor to a state school board, and you wind up hearing ODE presentations on a variety of issues, whether it's policies or initiatives. One initiative is the accountability framework and how that's being done. And for the most part, I listen in to ODE making its reports, and then I might ask questions or I might give affirming comments or even question a little bit of what they do and why they do it, so that the state school board knows the superintendent's perspective from the work that's being done. But in general, you know, what I want to see through ODE is that yes, we need to have compliance, you know, and yes, we need to have regulatory oversight. But more than anything, we need people in the work with us, helping us, listening to us, and trying to support us so that we can be more effective in our communities or more effective with our students and support our staff better. So usually I'm giving them a lot of, like, you know, instead of like pushing or putting pressure on us, I want you to support. I want you to listen. I want you to problem solve. And I want you to make things easy. And simple, not more complicated, not more bureaucracy. And I need you to come to our sites and come to our locations, and don't just make us have to come to you or report things to you. Like, be in the trenches. So they get a lot of things, and I do believe there's good humans.
Yeah.
Good humans in ODE, good thinkers. There's a lot of well-intentioned people, so it's not like I never appreciate them, but I want them to also know our lived life experience, and I want them to see things from our perspective, and then I want them to be able to communicate that to legislature or to their state school board.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you both for being here. Thank you both for taking the time. We're excited to be bringing this to you guys. We're going to do a quick shout out to our LHS girls soccer team, second in the state of Oregon, 4A. Ran into a tough match at the end, but might be a different topic for a different day, private and public schools. But anyway, we're proud of them. We're proud of our Tigers and our Lady Tigers and the way they battled this year.
Yeah. But you know what I would say? Sometimes I say it might not be politically correct, but we were the best public school exactly. in the 4A. So exactly. We did good.
Hey, there's a lot of states out there that make those private schools play at the biggest level. So yeah. It'd be a good thing for Oregon. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we're going to sign out here, and we'll come to you next time. See you guys.
We'll see you.
Thank you.